A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' The scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you are right in saying, he is one and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all of your understanding, with all of your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And no one dared to ask him any more questions." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, everyone. I'm wondering how many of you out there take a parent tax for Halloween candies from your children? Everyone I've met so far has said yes. Father Balding got two bags of Reese's Pieces to give out, and we had zero trick-or-treaters. And he was like, "Yes, that's why I got my favorite." So, We have a beautiful gospel reading before us today. Jesus is making a surprising link in the conversation we just heard in the gospel reading. He links forever the commandment to love God with the commandment to love one's neighbor as oneself. When asked for the single greatest commandment, he answers by giving two commandments: loving God and loving neighbor. They necessarily and intrinsically go together, same as it is with faith and works. In Jesus' time, this answer was surprising because it put love of neighbor on par with love of God. No one had ever done that before. Everyone simply agreed that loving God came first. Loving one's neighbor was good, they thought, but it must be secondary to the primary thing of loving God first. Jesus challenges these assumptions. True love for God that he teaches cannot exist apart from true love for one's neighbor. If someone claims to love God, that invisible love for God can be verified in a very visible way, in the way that they treat and love their neighbor. In our day and age, on the other hand, perhaps the more surprising aspect is that it's like flipped around. Everybody is giving priority to love of neighbor, but they're not giving priority to love of God. Our postmodern world, in many ways, has given up on the idea of God. The sheer quantity of different religions, different denominations, their inability to agree on Christian doctrines has created a cynical indifference to God in societies. Government, popular culture have almost succeeded in keeping God in the closet. But what the seculars do agree about, however, is the importance of loving one's neighbor. Toleration, diversity, random acts of kindness, paying it forward, and so on are so very popular in our culture today. These are things they say that they can sink their teeth into. Yet, I would ask the question, is it really possible to make a sustained effort necessary for truly Christian love of neighbor without staying connected to the reason why our neighbor ought to be loved. In other words, if I don't love the God in whose image my neighbor is created in, how long and how deeply can I truly love my neighbor? I think it's important here to define love. The love that Christ calls us to in the gospel is always agape love, not eros, not filio. It's agape love. Agape love seeks the good of the other. It doesn't mean do whatever they want or give in to everything they ask for, but true love means that we seek their best interest. And sometimes the best interest is to say, no, you've got it all wrong, and to teach them the truth. Years ago, Venerable Bishop Fulton Sheen told a story about a nun who was caring for a horribly ill patient. The patient had leprosy, and it was well advanced. There was a putrid, rotting smell, rotting skin, decaying flesh, and the nun attended to the patient with remarkable gentleness and kindness, as if she didn't even notice how grotesque the disease had made this person. A visitor to the hospital stood and watched her for a few moments, and when the nun had finished, the visitor went up to her with a grimace of disgust on his face, and he said to her, "Sister, I wouldn't do what you just did for $1 million. And the nun simply smiled and said, "Neither would I." True love for our neighbor isn't based on how much we like our neighbor, nor what we get out of it. These motivations won't last, and they won't lead us to true self-giving that Christ-like love involves. True love for our neighbor can only come about from a true love for God, in whose image our neighbor is created. Can we measure, or how can we measure, how much we love God? We all love God to some extent, otherwise you wouldn't be in the church right now. But how much, how mature is our love for God? St. Teresa of Avila, the amazing reformer and doctor of the church from the 16th century, Spain, took her measuring stick from this gospel passage we heard today about the greatest commandment, and she wrote these words: "We cannot know whether or not we love God, although there are strong indications for recognizing that we do love him, but we can know whether we love our neighbor. And be certain that the more advanced you see you are in love for your neighbor, the more advanced you will be in love with God." Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta shows the same kind of common sense. She says, "We are commanded to love God and our neighbor equally, on the same level. There is no difference. Love for our neighbor must be equal to our love for God. We don't have to search for opportunities. We have them 24 hours a day all around us. How is it that we do not see and we miss these opportunities?" There's an old philosophical dictum that says we cannot love what we do not know. And I think it's true. To love something, we have to know it. And so if we want to grow in our love for God, which is the surest way to grow in love for our neighbor, the best thing to do is to get to know God better. And so I propose three things, concrete things that we can do in the coming week to get to know God better. First, we can spend some time with the Bible. I like to recommend Lectio Divina. It's praying with the scriptures. In its simplest form, there are three R's: read, reflect, and respond. What if we would commit just 15 minutes of our morning to reading the scripture passage before we begin our busy lives? God's word is the way that he reveals himself to us. God wants to be in a relationship with you, and he's speaking to us constantly, but often we don't have the ears to hear what he's saying. One of the great ways that we can open our ears is to listen to the scripture. If I read a scripture passage and you read a scripture passage, chances are God is going to speak to us both, but he'll say very different things. but he speaks to us through his word. Secondly, we can do a holy hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. When we spend time with Jesus near the tabernacle in silence and in prayerful reflection, he speaks to your heart. I don't know how to explain it, but if you spend time in quiet in the Adoration Chapel and ask God to speak to you, you can bet all sorts of ideas and things will come into your mind and your heart, and you'll be amazed. So many people I know who have gone to Adoration thought it would just be a waste of their time. And after having gone, they feel like they have to go back again and again and again. And so if you want to get to know God better, spend an hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Thirdly, we can go for a prayer walk in the park. Hey, you kill two birds in one stone, you get some good exercise, and also God is revealed through the beauty of creation. Just like any artist is revealed when he produces a beautiful work of art, God is revealed in the beauty of the art that he created in nature. Secondly, we have to look at how we are called to love our neighbor. And there are some concrete things that we can look at. The church teaches that there are corporal works of mercy and there are spiritual works of mercy. And so as I go through this list, maybe we could ask ourselves, how am I doing in my love for neighbor? So the corporal works of mercy are feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, ransoming slaves, sheltering the homeless, and burying the dead. The spiritual works of mercy are the following: instructing the ignorant, counseling the doubtful, admonishing sinners, bearing wrongs patiently, forgiving offenses willingly, comforting the afflicted, and praying for the living and the dead. As we hear Jesus in this gospel passage give us two great commandments, that we should love God with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, let us think about concrete ways that we can grow in both love for God and neighbor this week. Amen.